certain numbers are significant in the Bible. Since today's the 48th day since the death of our sister Mendy, we can start with the number 40. 40 usually represents a period of trial, an earthly trial, a temporary trial. 40 years in the desert before entering the promised land. So when it comes to mourning our deceased loved ones, the 40 days is a recognition that it's a time of grief. It doesn't mean that on the 41st day there's no more grieving. It's symbolic, of course. And the grieving process on the psychological level is rather unpredictable. So, but still, culturally and communally, it's good to have some milestones like the 40th day today. One of the wrong interpretations of the 40th day, which I think you know, is that some people think that means people, when they die, they wander around for 40 days. That is not at all the truth. That's not at all what happened to Jesus. People think that Jesus wandered around for 40 days before he ascended. No, he didn't. On Easter Day, he went to the Father, and he appeared for 40 days. So Mendy has not been wandering around. She went to God on May 31st. I was there. I was there when she died. So, and if anyone has any faith at all, you can believe that Mendy went to be with God on the day she died, because she had, first of all, she's a woman of faith, and she had just received the sacraments. And we were praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet with her when she died. So we can't have a better and a more beautiful way of dying than that. So forget about that 40-day thing. We're not talking about 40 days of Mendy. We're talking about 40 days for us who are still here and passing through the time of grieving. So that's what we're observing here, this time of grief. And depending on our relationship with Mendy, grief could be longer or shorter, depends. So that's the number 40. But in the readings today, the more significant number is the number 12. In the first reading, the 12 sons of Jacob, or Israel, and then in the Gospel, the choice of the 12 apostles. Now, when Jesus chose a certain number of disciples to be apostles, he very deliberately chose 12 because of the 12 tribes of Israel. Because the old covenant was with this community of 12, and he's starting a new covenant. He's establishing a new kingdom with a new 12, the 12 apostles. And he even says, not here, but later on in the Gospel, he says, you will sit on 12 thrones and you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus makes explicit the connection between the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes. Well, let's go back to these 12 tribes. We jumped quite rapidly from the story of Jacob, who was yesterday was wrestling and got his new name Israel. Well, here, the time of famine has struck and they go to Egypt to get provisions, and we skipped over the whole story of Joseph, which is too bad because it's really a great story and a very profound one. But anyway, the brothers of Joseph, I don't know if it's all of them, but Joseph was number 11, remember? He was the 11th son, first child of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. Remember, he had children by four women. And so anyway, Joseph was the 11th. And then the last one is also from that same wife, Rachel, is Benjamin. So Joseph is in Egypt, and that's a whole story of its own. But the brothers come, and what this can call to our minds is that these brothers, these 12 sons, they're not a very appealing group of people. They're really not even good. They are hostile to each other. Well, they come, they're half-brothers, right? They have four different mothers. They all have the same father. So part of their problem is they have tensions among themselves. They had a great hatred for Joseph because Joseph was favored by their father, Jacob. they're just nasty. They're vindictive. They're deceitful. Even one of the better ones is Judah. Judah is the fourth son. He's not a completely spotless character either. Remember his incident with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. She had children by him because of that whole story. And so, and he's one of the better of the 12. And for some reason, God decides that the Messiah will come through the tribe of Judah. Remember, Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. So what's the point here? We're being shown the mysterious ways of God, who works with a very broken human family, including all of us. Why does he choose these 12? We don't really know. He just does. Why does he choose Jacob? Well, he's the descendant of Abraham. Abraham, man of faith. But once we get to the great-grandchildren, that's the 12 sons of Jacob, we get into a mess here. And then, why is the fourth one, Judah, chosen as the ancestor of the Messiah? It's in the providence of God. It's in the mystery of God. And when we look at the human side, we say, well, it's pretty ugly. It's a pretty nasty group. But when we look at God's side, we see God's willingness to work with nasty people, sinners, very willing. And so when we reflect on God's choice, it's actually a very good story, because it shows that God is willing to work with us too. He chooses us too, not because we're qualified, but because he's such a loving God. So we go from the 12 tribes up to the 12 apostles, and here they're listed by name in the gospel, starting with Simon, whose name is changed to Peter, then Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, and all the rest. And if we know anything about them, we know they're not particularly great men either. Not on the natural level, not in their human nature. They're ordinary people, in fact, and sometimes not even very good. Matthew was a tax collector. James and John had very hot tempered. Of course, Judas was a traitor. Thomas was famous for his doubting. But you could look at any one of them and find some flaw. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Why did God choose these 12? We don't know. Other than that, that's how God works. It's very clear, from the 12 tribes to the 12 apostles, God chooses imperfect people. And he works with them. He brings out good from this mess. In fact, great good. He establishes his new kingdom in the midst of us. So that's why I say this is actually a very good story. Not because of us, but because of God. Jesus, in choosing the 12, he calls them apostles. An apostle is from the Greek term for sending, right? Just like that missionary is from the Latin word for sending. So to be missionaries, to be apostles, is to be sent. And we learned on Sunday that God chose 72 more. Jesus chose 72 more and sent them out too. Because this is part of what it means to be a disciple, is to be sent out. We learned on Sunday that the power of those 72 was all from Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And when they were rejoicing that they had this power in his name, he said, well, don't rejoice so much about that. Rather, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that, I think, is connected to this reflection on the 12 apostles. Why should they rejoice? Not because they're great apostles, and they certainly have, they become great with the power of the Holy Spirit, but because their names are written in heaven, because of God's choice. Well, we who are disciples of Jesus, imperfect, sinful disciples, can also rejoice because God works with sinners, and because our names are written in heaven. And if we cooperate with God, if we allow His power to work in us, not only are our names written in heaven, but we go to heaven and reign forever. We can celebrate that in light of Mendy's journey. Mendy journeyed for 70, how old is she, 76? 77? 77. The last few years were full of suffering. But then she reached the end of her mission, and she went home to God. Thanks be to God. It's a great story because of how good God is to us. So it's not just about the 12 tribes or just about the 12 apostles. It's also about us. God chooses us and He sends us. He works with us. He does not give up on us because we're sinners or because we're weak. He is a faithful, merciful, loving God, but God with a great plan for us, and He wants us to be part of it.